You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I ask you today, what is your position in the food chain? In other words, this morning, I got up and I went out into our family room. I looked over at my turtle, Shelly, and she looked hungry, so I gave her a nightcrawler and she ate it. So that nightcrawler wasn't in the best position on the food chain. What about you? What is your position on the food chain? Well, are you aware of the devil, that great and powerful angel that God created, the greatest of the angels, who became an evil angel, and he wants to make you his lunch? Are you aware of him? The Bible says that he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Therefore, think about yourself. Are you safe from him? Are you ready for him to attack you? Will you be able to withstand the attack? These are real things that God wants us to know are present in the world and even present right here in the church. This is the place for him to come and devour. He has most of the people out there, so he's at work here. Today in Ephesians chapter 6, God will tell us by the Holy Spirit through Paul about the devil himself, about those who work with him, about their power, and about their high positions that they hold. He will also remind us of the devil's schemes to pull us away from Jesus Christ and to drag us into hell. Then he will tell us how to be armored with defensive weapons. He will tell us how to be armed with offensive weapons. And he will also tell us how to be ready for the countless assaults that have come upon us and will continue to come upon us until the day that we breathe our last in Jesus Christ. First major question today, where to be strong? We go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Some people in our world, they are exceedingly strong. I came across a gentleman a few days ago. His name is Eddie Hall, and back in July of 2016, he deadlifted 1,102 pounds. In other words, that's how much weight was on the bar, and he bent over and he stood up with it so that he was holding the bar down by his knees. 1,102 pounds. That is a world record. So impressive. And yet let's understand that our human strength, even the human strength of Eddie Hall, is nothing in comparison to the devil. Therefore, we are called to be strong where? Not in ourselves, but in the Lord. Actually, when we know we are weak, then we will not trust in self, but we will trust in the Lord. Think about what Paul wrote. He wrote, "When I am weak, then I am strong." What did he mean by that? It sounds odd, doesn't it? When Paul knew that he was weak, then he did not trust in himself, but he was trusting in the Lord. Prior to that, Paul thought he was strong, so he was trusting in himself and not in the Lord. It was a blessing when he found out his own weakness, and then he was strong in the Lord. Coming to our second major question, it is this. Why to be strong? Why to be strong? Well, why? Because the devil wants to eat us for lunch. That's why. We have instructions here in that regard going to verse 11. The Bible says, "Put on the whole armor of God so that you are able to stand against the schemes," in other words, the plans, the sneaky attacks, the tricks of the devil. God doesn't tell us to defeat the devil. Why doesn't he tell us that? First of all, we cannot. And second of all, Jesus has defeated him on our behalf. That is the good news. Instead, we are called to stand. What does it mean to stand? It means to not fall for the devil's sneaky attacks, which are intended to tear us away from Jesus Christ, leave us in our sins, and eternally condemn us. So he's saying, stand up, don't let such things happen. And then he wants us to know that we have great opponents, very powerful opponents. So Paul wrote, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Kind of difficult to understand. What does all of that mean? First of all, it means that our struggle is not with flesh, not with flesh and blood, but our struggle is a spiritual struggle. Let's understand that first. Spiritual things are not seen, but they are real, and they can be extremely powerful. God wants us to know that. So we have four things here described in that section. So he says our struggle is against the rulers. What does that mean? Well, each area of the world has a demon ruling over that particular area. They all have their designated areas. So our struggle is against those various demons. Also, our struggle is against the authorities. So those would be the ones who have given the forces of evil the right to be able to come after us. Think about a police officer. When he pulls you over for driving too fast, he has been given authority to be able to do that. When the forces of evil come to attack us, to devour us, they have been authorized to do that. Our struggle is also against the world rulers. So those would be the higher ups in the spiritual evil, and they are ruling over many of the individual demons. Our struggle is against them too. And then finally it says, our struggle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we're not saying that the spiritual forces of evil are in paradise with God. That's a different place. That's a different heavenly place. But we are saying, though, that they hold very high, powerful positions. In other words, we should not underestimate them at all. Thinking about all of that, let's know that their great power of evil leaves us in a very bad situation. We have no power at all. So what do we need? We need God's divine intervention. We need his help in every way. What is the solution? Paul wrote, take up the whole armor of God in order that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to resist. Imagine if you were in a situation. Let's say you were walking in a dark alley in Cleveland, or let's say you were in a military situation and you're in enemy territory and someone comes and physically grabs a hold of you and they're trying to kill you. They're trying to choke you. They're trying to do whatever they can to put you to death. It's a horrifying thing, but wouldn't you use every resource you had to punch them, to pull at them, to bite them, to do whatever you could in order to stop them from killing you? God wants us to know that these great forces of evil are using everything they've got in order to rip us away from Jesus Christ and send us to eternal punishment. And just as we would use every resource in order to defend ourselves physically, he wants us to also employ every resource in order to defend ourselves spiritually. Third major question, the final major question, how to be strong? As we come to this section, sometimes we call it the armor of God. And oftentimes when people take a look at this, they're thinking more of a Roman soldier and the kind of armor that he would wear. However, though, it was interesting in Harold's class last week on Thursday at 10 o'clock, He had some passages in there, and they were pointing to much of the same information we have here, but that information is found in the Old Testament, and it's not pointing to a Roman soldier, but rather it's pointing to a spiritual soldier. It's pointing to an Old Testament priest. So we're going to look at it a little bit in that direction today and see if this makes any sense. Paul wrote, "Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." So this idea of a belt, but a belt of truth, what does that mean? Well, we have God's truth about our sin and God's truth about the work he has done to save us. So that is the truth that God wants wrapped around us. That's the truth upon which we take our stand, knowing the bad news on one hand that we have sinned, knowing the good news on the other hand that Jesus has done everything to take away those sins. And then he talks here about having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So first of all, Jesus Christ, he lived a righteous life for us. And then in holy baptism, that righteous life that he lived is wrapped around us. And how should that look then as we are going through our Christian lives, as his life was right for us, so our lives should be right for him? That's only right. And then going to verse 15, Paul wrote, "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the equipment of the gospel of peace." Imagine having to walk somewhere and the ground you're walking on is very jagged and rough. Very difficult to do that with no shoes, correct? But when you have shoes on, then you can do it. Well, here we're talking about being equipped with the gospel of peace like shoes. So maybe we could think here about how the gospel, as we go through life, is a blessing to us because we know that here and there we're going to fall into sin. And when we do, that can be painful for us, just like walking on ground without shoes. But when we are equipped with the gospel, though we fall into sin, right away the Holy Spirit points us to Christ and wants us to know we are forgiven so we don't lose our peace. Going to verse 16, the Bible says, "In all circumstances, having taken up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." So think about a flaming dart. Really, we're talking here about a flaming arrow. So I'm sure you've seen it on TV before, someone with a bow and arrow, and the arrow is on fire on the end. What's the purpose of that arrow? The idea is they're shooting the arrow at an object or at a person, and when the arrow hits, they want it to embed into the person. And because the arrow is flaming, they wanted to burn up the person. That is what the devil is doing to us. So here is the devil, this great foe. He has his bow and arrow. The arrows are on fire, and he's shooting them at us. He wants to burn us up. Isn't that a horrifying thing? But what did it say here, though? It said to take up the shield of faith in order to not be burned up, to not be stuck with that arrow. So what is the shield of faith? That is our faith in the Bible, knowing it is the Word of God. That is our faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that he is the Son of God, that he did everything to take away our sins. So with our faith in the Word and in Christ, now we have this shield around us, protecting us from the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then we come to what's called the helmet of salvation. So we think about a helmet covering the head. Hey, we're in football season, so we think about helmets. So with the helmet of salvation, though, in our head is our brain. So can we be bothered by things in our brains? Can we be stressed out about things? Can we be worried about things? Can we be overwhelmed with things? God knows that can happen, so he wants us to have on the helmet of salvation so that even though things are not easy in this life, He wants us to know that we are saved. Just like it says in the Bible, he who has the Son has the life. He wants us to know that in our minds, and no matter what happens, he wants us to know we have Jesus Christ. That means we are saved, and no matter what's going on otherwise in our lives, everything is going to be okay. So far with the armor, we have talked about what we might call defensive weapons. So we talked about a belt, a breastplate, shoes, a shield, and a helmet. So those are all ways to defend ourselves. Now we come to two weapons, and these are the offensive weapons. So we come now to the Bible and also to prayer. It describes the Bible here as the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let's understand that we don't have much in offensive weapons, but we have a very powerful one in the Word of God. When it comes to the forces of evil, do you think they spend their spare time reading the Bible? By no means. Let's understand that the forces of evil radically hate the Bible, because the Bible is all about Jesus, and they radically hate him too. So what should we do with our offensive weapon here, the Bible? The more that we know it, the more that we live it, the more that we share it, the more that the forces of evil are going to flee away from us, because they want nothing to do with the Word of God. And then when it comes to the topic of prayer, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So it mentioned prayer, then it mentions supplication separate. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God with our words and with our thoughts. What is supplication? Supplication is basically a very earnest prayer. So we are crying out to God. We are begging God. We are, in the most serious way we can, we are crying out to him for help. So Paul is saying that we do both, and we do so in the Spirit. In other words, we do so in connection with the Holy Spirit, and we are crying out to him for assistance as the devil is trying to eat us for lunch. And then finally, at the end here, St. Paul wrote, to that end, in other words, to the end of standing firm against the devil, keep alert with all perseverance and making supplication for all the saints and also for me, Paul writes, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So along with wearing the five things we talked about as the armor of God, it's important that we are using our offensive weapons, the Bible and prayer. It's important that we are remaining alert for the devil's schemes. So the devil and all the forces of evil are scheming to take us down. It's also important that we pray for other Christians, understanding the devil is after them too. So let's pray for them. And let's also be encouraged, knowing that they are also praying for us. With all of that being said, let us know it, let us put it into practice, and let us not be the lion's lunch. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to remember this text here in Ephesians 6. We pray that you would help us to put it into practice on a daily basis, and we pray that you would so protect us that we would never become the devil's lunch. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.